Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Greg's Garage Pod with co-host Jason Pridmore, presented by Bike911.com. Bike911.com. If you need some legal assistance or whatever, Alex Asante's got you covered. I know for all those of you who drive into Daytona or whatever, this one I don't think is going to be a particularly long one because Jason Pridmore is in the middle of golfing and he's got to get on a plane tomorrow morning and come to Daytona Beach, Florida. Hello, Jason Pridmore. How are you?
G-Dub. I'm good. Yeah, I'm down in Temecula and playing in a Southern Cal Golf Association tournament down here. So I'm in my hotel room and man, I'm so pumped. Get through today and then I'm on a big bird tomorrow headed to you in Florida and the season opener, Daytona.
Let's talk about this podcast a little bit. Of course, it is Daytona 200 week. We're going to preview a little bit of the Daytona 200 plus MotoGP begins this weekend. We'll talk about Qatar. And we're going to talk MotoGP fantasy because you got to make sure that you're involved in our MotoGP fantasy. There's prizes. We'll talk about that. And then there was Daytona Supercross and Supercross fantasy. If you want to support the channel, we don't give you any extra content. I really need to work on it. But if you just like us and you want to support us, patreon.com/Greg's Garage TV. The link's in the description of this podcast. So let's not catch up. Why don't we just jump right into it, Jason, and do our news presented by Arai. I mean, because like we're going to catch up a little bit, but that's because it's in the news. It's in the news of what I was doing over the weekend. But all right, Jay, so it's Daytona 200 weekend. So let's talk about that for a second after I do this. Helmets are made by dedicated hands of those who work at Arai and have shown examples of supreme protection for decades. The numerous improvements by their experienced hand and personal desire to further the protection of riders' heads are among the many unique reasons Arai helmets perform the way they do. From our very first helmet to the ones we make today, rider protection remains our first priority. And we at Arai shall never forget the value of what we've been seeking to protect is priceless. That's your noodle and your life. All right. So let me pull something up here, Jay.
Yeah.
Daytona 200 weekend is here. So let's talk about where you can find all of the coverage for the Daytona 200. So on Thursday, March 7th, which of course today's Tuesday, we're recording this. I think I'm just going to pop this up today, by the way. Normally I post on Wednesday, but I'm going to pop it up today because of the people driving down. The coverage begins on Moto America Live Plus. Again, new revamped Live Plus. You're going to love it. Go get subscribed. If you go to MotoAmerica.com, I think it's 18% off or whatever. But it'll begin at 1:25 Eastern time. So what is that, like 10:25 your time?
10:25 out here, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So yep. That's the coverage going to begin Thursday. Because again, Daytona is the Thursday, Friday, Saturday deal, folks. And that'll begin with the Bellissimoto Twins Cup qualifying number one. But then I think they run that, Jay, the rest of the day.
That's okay. Right.
Yep. So then we're going to go to Friday, and they'll begin 9 a.m. local time with the Mission Super Hooligans qualifier number two. That'll be on Live Plus. At 1:45 on Friday is the first race of the weekend, and that's Super Hooligans race.
Okay.
That'll be on the Motorsport One Network, Moto America TV, and YouTube. All right? Then Mission King of the Baggers is at 3 o'clock. That'll be on live on MAV TV. On Motorsports One, and it'll be on FS1, but delayed. So it's the Fox Sports One deal. Remember last year, Jay, how we were combining our two races, and then we would do a 1 hour
kind of like a
deal for that. That continues this year.
Okay.
Saturday is going to be the warm up, the Daytona Supersport warm up, which begins at 8:45 a.m. So they're going to go on Live Plus. Then Super Hooligans races at 10 a.m. That'll be across Motorsports, Moto TV, YouTube. Then the 200 begins. The 200 will be available on Moto America Live Plus Live. It'll be on ESPN Star Plus, which is like Despuertes type stuff. And it'll be on MAV TV delayed. Now, don't quote me, Jay, but I'm pretty sure it's like 6 o'clock at night on MAV TV delayed.
Okay.
All right. And then King of the Baggers will be live on MAV, which is at 4. And then Motorsports 1 and FS1 delayed. So that's the deal. Now, I will say this. I'm not sure if I've told you this, Jason.
Yeah,
but you and I will, and Hannah will be commentating the 15-minute, like the qualifying session, the time attack deal for the for the watch or whatever
on Friday afternoon or something.
On Friday afternoon, we're going to be commentating that deal. Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there doing that for the 200. So
great
as kind of a warm up, you know, that first one back, and you know, to work with our producers and stuff. So that'll be fun for us.
No, absolutely. I think just looking at the schedule, I checked the weather. First thing I did this morning, Greg, opened my eyes.
Is it still good?
And the weather looks good. Looks like it's going to be 80 degrees or something for the race on Saturday. I know they've got race coming in on Sunday, or rain coming in on Sunday, and it is Florida. So, but I tell you, 8-9 days ago, I looked at the weather. It was supposed to rain all 3 days. So I know how quickly it can change down there. But boy, I'll tell you, if we can get that kind of day where it's 80 degrees at Daytona, it'd be perfect. There's so many things I'm excited about getting down there and just seeing how everything plays out. I did read last week, if you listen to the podcast, you heard Greg talk about the fact that Lee Johnson wasn't on the entry list. And sadly, I haven't reached out to him yet, because I just literally found this out last night. He went and tested in Spain, and literally on his first lap out, fell and broke his leg.
No.
And so he's out. And it sounded like they were pretty adamant in the quotes that they had some sort of mechanical, but it was through no fault of anybody. It wasn't like a mechanic's fault or a piece that was improperly put on the bike or anything, but it was some sort of mechanical. And the poor guy, after basically 8 months of recovery from his accident at the Northwest 200, got hurt again. So he won't be at Daytona. So hopefully next year we'll get a chance to see him.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
go out, really recover soon, man. And look, we've talked about this quite a bit, but the Vision Wheel M4X Star Suzuki team is at it again this year. And this time they're going to be in three classes, Jason. But listen to the rider lineup. So in the Premier Superbike class, it's going to be Posh and Escalante, all right, on the GSXR 1000s. Ty Scott, Teague Hobbs, and Joel Omen on Supersport. And then they've hired Rossi Moore, who's going to be in the Twins Cup category on that GSX 8R in that development role. So your thoughts on the size of that team? That is a monster project with six riders underneath that trailer's canopy.
It is. It's going to be a big effort, but that's what Chris has to do to make this program work. And, you know, for me, when I look at it, I think over the last 3 years, he's done such a really, really good job of being able to manage all the chaos that he's got over there, in the sense of just so many riders. His riders are still put in a great position. The Superbike was definitely getting better last year. Brendan obviously really impressed us. Escalante is getting in. I think this is his third year. It's crazy to think how quick it goes by. Obviously with Ty Scott and Teague Hobbs, super pumped for Teague that he's going to be there racing that, and I mean, a new adventure for them in the Twins Cup with Rossi Moore. That'll be interesting as well. He's been going awfully fast out here, so that's going to be wild to see how he gets on with a brand new bike. You know,
I'm really curious to see how the GSX 8R does. I've heard horsepower wise, there's an actual cam. Is it a cam that you can buy that's like approved by Moto America? That bumps the horsepower up quite a bit. It's not quite R7 levels, but I've also heard that the bike's a bit heavy. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I know that in talking to, you know, Moto America technical director, that he said that coming up with the proper rules to include the GSX 8R was very difficult. It was very stressful for him to do that. And, you know, this is kind of the world that we live in now, is that manufacturers are just building bikes to build bikes. They're not building bikes specifically for categories anymore.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we are with that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that does. And I'm definitely not going to peg success or failure on Daytona any stretch of the imagination, because it's them and it's Vance and Hines Suzuki that are going to be developing this GSX 8R. The question is, do they talk or do they develop their own thing? I think they're going to develop their own thing. They're going to go in their own direction.
I think they will too. Yeah. And I think you just said something that is just so poignant in our industry now, is that manufacturers are not building bikes for classes. And so it makes it really hard for the people that are making up the technical rules for race series around the world to try to be inclusive and get these manufacturers a spot on the grid if they want to race their motorcycle. So it makes it really, really difficult. And to your point, Daytona is not the place that you go for your very first race and expect big things. Now, we've seen crazier things happen where debut bikes have come out and just killed it. There's no question about that. But it's definitely one of those places that when you roll into Daytona with a bike that's never really been in competition, it's a crapshoot that first weekend. And I even know that there's a couple guys in the Daytona 200 that are essentially treating the 200 miler as a test. You know, let's go see what this bike can do for 200 miles and get as comfortable as we can on it. Because Greg, you know, it's the first race of the year. Everybody's still scrambling. I mean, if you and I tried to call a bunch of the different teams and places today to try to get members of these teams on the phone, we'd be laughed at because everybody's just going full stop trying to get themselves to Daytona.
Well, even with that in mind, you know, over the weekend, I went up to the Mount Airy Casino Resort in the Poconos and hosted the team launch for the what was the Warhorse HSBK Racing Ducati New York team. And in that, they had their semi parked outside, Jay, because the bike, so basically it's a new team, right? Which is OnlyFans Racing, Warhorse, Ducati. Now, I want to talk to you about that in a second because I think there's some kind of misnomers about the title sponsor, but they had the two super bikes there because it's Baz and Heron, and then they had Heron's you know, super sport Daytona bike ready to go.
Yeah.
And what they did is because they were so pressed for time, that at like 4 or something, like 5 o'clock in the morning, the next morning on Sunday morning, they got into a bus. They had like this old, you know, like old Prevost motorhome or whatever.
Yeah.
That's got a bunch of like first class seats in it. They drove down to Roebling, and it might be right now that we're talking that they're practicing pit stops, and then they're all going. So there's only like one or two people from the team flying down to Daytona.
Crazy.
They all flew into Pennsylvania, and then go down. The semi went down. Everything. So it's a slam. I mean, the only time that's worse than Daytona, Jay, was those couple of years where the first race of the year was in February at Phoenix.
Phoenix. Right? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, just talk about, like I got a brand new bolt or these poor aftermarket manufacturers. I remember when the GSXR 750/600 was brand new and we had a race at Phoenix and people were like, literally FedEx package showed up with like rear sets. Because people had just made them or whatever.
It's all the time, man. And that Phoenix race, the only great thing about it, Greg, was all the race teams were pretty much on the West Coast, if you remember back then, all the factory teams. So it made it a little bit easier for them.
Well, it gave them an extra day or two. If it was on the East Coast, they would have had to leave the shop a day or two early.
That's right.
And
so
with race prep, that can make a huge difference.
But it was, that was a mess. So,
All right, so let's go to MotoGP real quick, Jay, because the first domino... We talked about it last week about silly season. When does it start? The first domino fell into place. Pecco Bagnaia extends his deal with Ducati for 2 years, puts him on the grid on a Ducati at least till 2026. I'm interested to get your thoughts about that because to me, it's news. Of course, it's news that he signs, but I think this is probably the biggest no-brainer in the paddock.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Ducati wants him to feel comfortable and that he's sorted. I mean, with what's gone on in MotoGP during this offseason with Marquez coming in, I think that they want their number one guy to feel like, hey, you have no chance of losing your spot. You're always going to be here. You're part of the Ducati family. So right now you got to reward him with that deal and get that out of the way as quickly as we can. It's where all the other chips are going to fall, I think, are going to be the complicated ones. And it'll be interesting, Greg, to see how long that takes for those to start falling into place, especially with first round of MotoGP this weekend in Doha. I'm sure that the journalists there will be, you know, running close with their ears on the ground, trying to figure out what murmurs there might be going, who's where. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that's the worst part about having like this year be where almost the entire, all but two people, I guess three now, have contracts that are open because it has the possibility to dominate the news more than the racing does about who's going where. So the quicker all that stuff gets sorted, the better. But there'll be some people that are just going to wait because, you know, the only thing that's going to be left is a Honda ride. And, you know, people are going to be like, I don't know what to do. So,
well,
it's so weird to say.
I mean, it is weird. It's going to be strange to see where people fall into place. What's really going to be weird is Bastianini has a good year to me. If he has a good year, they seem like they were pretty strong with him, even through last year. I mean, the big sign will be where's Jorge Martin going? That's going to be the big one. So there's a lot of questions about MotoGP, and we'll get into the first round here in a minute that we're going to talk about because I know it's this weekend, and bring up some of the riders that we are going to be looking at.
Well, that's all the news that I have presented by Arai.
Yeah, Greg, let's just jump right into this. Daytona 200 weekend preview. We went through kind of the list of guys and entries that are going to be in this. I do believe we have one female. So Jessica Capizzi is racing again. So that's cool. But I think that, like we have discussed over the weeks ahead, we tried to be a little bit coy in the thoughts of not getting too excited about it, but I've never been more excited for a Daytona 200 to watch it than I am about this one. I'm expecting 20 riders in the lead draft at the beginning of this race that could all kind of stick in there. It's going to put real big pressure on the TV, on the crews rather, not TV, real pressure on the crew chiefs to make sure that all the people that are working underneath them, mechanics and helpers. And you got to remember, Greg, the thing about this race that it does is it will bring people into the picture that aren't normally in the picture, in the sense of when they jump over the wall, now they're put under the gun a little bit. And we've already seen pit stops this year at Phillip Island that altered the outcome of races, in the sense for some of the riders like Johnny Ray, who did a pit stop at Phillip Island and was in there for 20 seconds, Sam Lowe, same thing. So the pit stops for the 200 are going to be crucial. This is where you look at a team like the one team that's coming into this thing that isn't going to worry about pit stops is going to be the Yart team, the guys that do World Endurance. They're going to feel really confident in their guys being able to do these pit stops. So, you know, if guys like those, if those three guys, Carl Hanica and Nico Canepa and Marvin Fritz, can get up to speed around the banks of Daytona and get the feel of drafting, all these guys are very, very seasoned. They could be in the hunt for this. Chavi Forres riding for Yamaha and Josh Hayes. That's the three. That's probably the five guys for Yamaha, right?
Yeah, that's the five guys for Yamaha. And of course, they're the winningest manufacturer in Daytona ever.
Yeah.
And the Yamaha factory team is the winningest team ever, which they're not in it. But, you know, what's interesting about the 202, Jay, is that I think it's safe to say that pit stops, you can't win the race in the pits, but you can lose it in the pits because of the drafting and everything else. It's like if your pit crew is 1 second off or 2 seconds off the other person, if you have someone, you can make that up in a draft and close down on the leader, but you definitely can lose it. In terms of like the pits, 20 people in the lead draft, that we saw it last year, that went down to like three or four,
correct,
like, or one leader or whatever. So that's where the difference is. And of course, it's the only race of its kind in the world, and it's a super speedway. It's a 200 mile solo endurance race when you rely on your team. 20 riders in the lead draft could be silly, especially for the people that are like 17, 18, 19, 20 going into the chicane for the first time in that draft. You're going to have your wits about you.
Because that's the stuff that the people that haven't raced here are going to have to get used to, right? Like,
Let's talk about it real quick, Jay. What makes Daytona so special? Like, why? Like, I was talking to Loris Baz right at the team launch, and he's like, I want to race this race someday. Like, this is Daytona 200 is known worldwide. People talk about it all the time. Even when it wasn't as popular as it is resurgent popular now, people still talk about it. But why? You've raced there. I've raced there. Like, what's the big whoop?
It's the history of Daytona, isn't it? Really? I mean, it's if you think about who and what have been on those high banks of Daytona, not just from the motorcycle world, but from the car world as well. Even if you're not a car guy, I mean, you know that like Mario Andretti's won the Daytona 500, and you know that like, you know, Richard Petty, and you go right down the line of Dale Earnhardt Jr., Dale Earnhardt Sr. I mean, you just look at the people that have won there, and you get to put your name on that wall. And that's an important thing. And I really don't think it matters what race you win at Daytona, even the Race of Champions at the end of the year. Those guys all are getting a championship and doing it at Daytona. It's one of the most finicky tracks, finicky places that you'll ever be. I always felt like at Daytona when I rolled in there that it was really going to go one of two ways for me. I was going to have great luck or I was going to have shit luck. And that was just what it was going to be. It doesn't matter. It's the one track I feel like doesn't matter how much preparation you do, how good you think you have your stuff in order. One little thing at that place just seems to turn the weekend upside down. It's also a place, Greg, where you get unbelievable stories of guys that you wouldn't even have thought could win a race that win a race down there. You know, the first guy that comes to mind in my mind, a guy that we lost here a couple of years ago, was John Ashmead, 1989. I'll never forget being there for the Daytona 200. John Ashmead wins on a privateer Honda. And those are the kind of things that Daytona can throw up at you, you know? But I do feel this, though. I think that the level of teams and stuff that we have entering this Daytona 200 are higher than we've seen in many, many, many years. And I think that these guys and girls that are on the pit stop or jumping over the wall, they're going to be tuned in and ready to go. I don't think that we're going to see as many. We're still going to see some pit stop screw-ups. There's no question. That's inevitable. But boy, I'll tell you, that's something that I would be keying on so hard if I was running a team right now, is just making sure that our pit stops are sound.
Yeah, because like I said, you can't win it in the pits, but you can certainly lose it.
You can't. And Greg, you know what the worst part is about what you said there? Is if you've got a guy that you actually can ride with, that you're comfortable around, right? Like, let's say that you're in a race with Josh Hayes, and you know Josh got so many laps around there. The worst thing that can happen for you is you come into the pits with him, and you might be two or three stalls behind the attack team, or not the attack team, but Melissa's team, and you see Josh pull in, and you pull in. You want to go out with him. You don't want to have him. I mean, to that point, you don't even want your pit stop to be that much better than him, where you don't have a dance partner when you go out. You need that draft and help. You need somebody there. And so there's a lot of that goes on as well, where how that track position changes when you're in pit lane, depending on the length of your pit stop and the length of others' pit stops. That's what jumbles the race up. And you and I have to wait a couple of laps after all the pit stops for timing and scoring to kind of catch up with things to see who really did what.
Yeah, it's kind of. I think the other thing with Daytona too is the drafting. It's not the banking necessarily, because how many laps do you think? I know you've been going to Daytona, dude, a long time.
Yeah,
and I was there a long time ago, and I remember the hype of Daytona, and I was thinking, like, it was probably the second lap where I was like, okay, it's the banking. Like, the banking isn't a big deal. People talk about it all the time. I have done the thing where I've tried to walk up the banking, and you can't do it. You know, there's you're right, because it's too steep. Like, physically, you can't do it. Like, through physics, I mean. And then there's that, like, certain speed. Like, if you go under a certain mile an hour, you'll slide down the banking. There's all that. But I think the biggest thing is there's not another race in the world I can think of where drafting, you have to know how to draft. And to say you're just going to sit in someone's draft and be able to pass them, at Daytona, there are very specific areas in which you've got to be able to pull out of the draft that can make your winning move or not. And that's why we have race finishes that are so incredibly close at Daytona, 0.00 somethings, 0.01 somethings, you know?
Yeah.
I know a couple of weeks ago, NASCAR was like, oh my God, 0.008, the closest finish in NASCAR history. And all of us motorcycle racing people are just giggling, going, I mean, I can break out like 10 of those.
Yes.
You know, probably five of them are at Daytona.
Yeah.
So it's the drafting is very special. And I think, to your point, if you're someone like Hanukkah, who may have never raced as much drafting as there is, to get hooked up with someone like Hayes just to learn. Not do lap times, but just to kind of get an understanding of positioning on the racetrack is going to be very important. So the 200 is going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. Jay, let's jump real quick, because let's look at Super Hooligans, which you and I don't commentate, but I'll definitely keep an eye on it. So the number one player, Tyler O'Hara, is back. He's on the S&S Indian machine. You have some pretty big names in there. You know, Travis Wyman is in it. Corey West is in it. Troy Herfoss is in it as well, doing Hooligans on the S&S. So he and Tyler, of course, he's three-time Australian Superbike champ in his debut here. That track time is definitely going to be valuable for him. Cody Wyman's in it as well. Hayden Schultz, Andy DeBrino, who won at Daytona. But Jay, do you know that Canepa is on it? He's on a Yart. He's on a Yart Yamaha MT09SP.
Amazing. Wow. That'll be interesting. And it'll help him for a little extra track time, which would be nice.
Jake Lewis, Hawk Mazada, Mesa is on the electric bike.
Yeah.
And there's a few people I skipped over, but that's going to be a very interesting class. 35 riders entered. I will mention 68 riders have entered to try to qualify to race the Daytona 200. I think we lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 10% last year on the cutoff time.
Okay.
So the problem is I can't remember. When I get there, I'll remember. It's either 110 or 112%.
Okay.
Do you remember? I don't remember.
I don't. I don't, Greg.
So it's 110 or 112% of the fastest time set. So the cutoff. In Mission King of the Baggers, Jay, we got 16. Of course, we've got the number one, Platen Hayden Gillum, coming back. We got Travis Wyman, Ruben Chouse, Corey West, Herfoss, O'Hara's there, Jesse Janich, Kyle Wyman, Rispoli in his factory debut, Fong, Eslick, Owen Sorg is there, Jake Lewis, Flinders, Rocco Landers, and Shane Narbonne. I mean,
everybody there is somebody you know what
everybody,
I mean?
Everybody. Yeah. It's a stacked field. And then, of course, we have the Bellissimo Twins Cup, which we will be keeping an eye on for sure, because, you know, you have obviously the R7 returning, which doesn't get off the corner as well as, say, the Aprilia RS660, but has good top speed. Those are pretty balanced. And then you got the Rocco Landers in it with the Vance and Hines, Revzilla Moto Vance and Hines, Suzuki GSX 8R. And you have
Rossi Moore also on that bike.
Yeah.
On it. So,
yeah, there he is. Yeah. Rossi Moore's on it as well.
Yeah.
So you have three manufacturers. Going from two to three is always a good thing. So it's going to be an exciting weekend across the board. Weather is looking good. And it's just, I just can't wait to look at qualifying times.
Well, it's going to be, I think it'll be a record breaking weekend if the weather stays nice. I think that you're going to see a lot of fast times.
You get to watch for the win now, not for qualifying, by the way, the Rolex. I think that's the deal.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. For after the race. Yeah, that makes sense. No, I'm excited. We've talked about it quite a bit on the podcast. We said we were going to do a nice preview, and we really have already done it in podcasts leading up to
the last three podcasts, really.
With the names of the guys and the people that are going to be in the race. So, yeah, man, I'm itching to get down there. I leave today, from this tournament that I'm at. And I'll drive up to probably Kolb's house tonight and stay with him, and then get on the big plane tomorrow. You get in tomorrow as well, yeah?
Yeah, I'm driving.
Driving down, yeah. I remember you're driving down.
About an 8 for me.
Yep.
If the weather's nice, I'll stop in Savannah and I'll bring my bow, and I'll shoot at this place, this public range that I like down there, nice. Just to break the drive up. It's
break
like 5
the things
hours.
Up a little.
Yeah,
a bit of a drive.
Spend 2 hours shooting cool. And finish it off, and yeah, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to just being around the environment Thursday.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the paddock with so many teams. It's going to be super busy.
It's going to be busy, and there's going to be people there that I know that there'll be people there that I haven't seen in a long time too, just from the World Endurance days. And they'll be,
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, I got to walk around with you a little bit when you go to the paddock. I want to meet some
it'll
folks.
It'll be fun.
Also, yeah. The other thing too, I want to mention, speaking of Daytona, is that I saw it. I didn't look at the details, folks, but it looks like Moto America and American Flat Track have partnered, so you can buy a combined ticket.
Oh,
so you
wow.
get the ticket to come to our event, and then, you know, wherever the flat track race is as well. So go to MotoAmerica.com and check that out if you're interested, if you're going down to Daytona and getting that combined ticket, because I'm sure it's going to be pennies on the dollar to do it. It's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
Qatar, Jason, MotoGP, it starts up.
Crazy.
You know, it's, I mean, from testing and stuff like this, it's not going to be much of a preview in terms of the premier class. Ducati's looking really good.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to dominate again this year, I think. I don't see anybody that's going to be a big threat to them manufacturer-wise. The two guys I would throw in, maybe three, are obviously Pedro Acosta as a rookie. I think that is going to be one of the biggest stories of the year. How good is he? I mean, the comparisons that are being drawn against him are pretty stout. When you start talking about this could be the next Mark Marquez, we'll see. And I think that his teammate Brad Binder will be another guy that will be at the front of races this year a lot. On the Aprilia side of it, you'd like to think that those guys are going to be at the front. I mean, we know Vinales, how quick he is when he practices and qualifies, and then we know what happens in the races. Aleix, to be honest with you, Greg, Aleix is just getting older, and every year it's just going to get harder now. And I think that this is going to be the team that we will see the biggest shakeups in going forward into next year. I think that they're going to have to go out and find two unbelievable guys. I think the Aprilia has been capable of winning more than it actually has in the last couple of years. And it's going to be interesting to see who they get. Will there be talks about getting Quartararo there or Jorge Martin there? Those two riders, meaning Maverick Vinales and Aleix Espargaró, are going to have to battle a lot of things, I think, off track with the murmurs of being replaced. And so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think for Doha, The one person that everyone's going to continue to overlook is the guy that won there at the end of last year. DeJantonio is going back there. He's got to be feeling good the way his season ended. He's got to be feeling good on his new ride. And I think that he's going to be, if he could continue to rack up points the way he was at the end of last year, be interested to see where he is halfway through the season.
I also think on the Aprilia side of things that Trackhouse is getting more updates than RNF got. And so, I mean, he's a multi-time winner, but people don't pay attention to him because he's very much up or down, and that's Miguel Oliveira. So I'm going to keep an eye on him as well, because I think if they find a really good setting for him and he can get a little bit more consistency this year with a bike that's closer to the factory bikes. I mean, it's it's supposed to be 2024 factory spec, but I guess it's really 2023, like with updated parts.
Yep. I think, yeah. And again, it's who's the next guy coming up too? Also, Greg from Moto2. Like, that's going to be the other thing. This Fermin Aldegar, he's going to be another kid that's going to be taking a seat next year. So,
well, hold on. The other thing too, Jay, yeah. I just want to point out that Joe Roberts was fast. He was second overall in the test that they just had at Jerez, and he goes to Qatar where he has been on pole before, and he goes really good here.
Yes.
So I think that if Joe has a season, you know, he was already asked to be on the Aprilia team a couple of years ago. So I know that the series itself is very keen right now to have an American. I don't know if that's going to change. I mean, there's talk about the people that own F1 are going to, you know, they're in talks right now for about $3 billion, $3 to $4 billion to buy MotoGP. Just to give you context, when they, Liberty Media, when they bought Formula One 2017, that was an $8 billion deal. So I think if you look at the valuation of it all, you know, now what's Formula One worth? Probably $15 billion. Who knows? And you look at MotoGP at $4 billion, it gives you an idea where we are. But anyway, so that's going to be something that I'm going to be keeping an eye on, because if Joe has a season, for sure, I think we can see Joe on a MotoGP bike next year.
Which I'd love. I mean, I think it would be great. You know what would be interesting, Greg, is if you and I did a kind of a prediction of who might be getting out of MotoGP. Maybe we'll do that at the end of next week's podcast. But
that's a good idea.
Just to kind of get an idea of what seats might be available, how many seats for new riders. Because you know what's funny is over the last few years, the rookie of the year has been one guy. There's always just been one guy, and he gets the rookie of the year, right? Like, it's, I think last year was DeGiantonio, or 2 years ago it was DeGiantonio, and I know Augusto Fernandez, I think, was last year, because they've done 1 year and that's it. And it's like, it'll be interesting to see what guys we think will be on the hot seats. Cause I think I could literally name five. And are there five people worthy of coming up from Moto2? And let's just hope. I mean, I would love to see Joe like excel this year and do well over there with that team and get the possibilities of moving up.
Yeah, it would be quite spectacular. All right. So don't forget about our fantasy, fantasy.motogp.com. Go check it out, or go to the Game Hub section of MotoGP. It's Greg's Garage Pod with Jason Pridmore. So go check that out. It's Greg's apostrophe S, so you can do a search for it, and it'll be in the description as well. First place prize will be a set of Dunlop tires as well as an Arai helmet. Second place is going to get some tires, and third place will get some tires, and we're going to see if we can drum up any more stuff. But now's the time to get in to the league. It's free to sign up, so just go out and play with us, and we'll explain. So you'll figure it out, folks. There's gold riders, there's silver riders. You got a budget. You got to learn how to spend that. You got to spend on a manufacturer, and you'll figure it out. It's really good and fun stuff.
And it's not as hard as you think. And it's actually, it is a lot of fun, and I'm excited. This morning I woke up, and the first thing I do when I open my eyes, Greg, obviously, is I pick up my phone, have a look, and I got an email for Uncle Skip's League, which I love. So I'm like, oh man, it's MotoGP season. It's starting. So,
you know who doesn't get that email anymore?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get that email anymore. No. Because you're lazy.
Because I'm busy.
You're busy. I love you're busy. All right, we're not doing this right now because I don't have time.
Fine. Supercross happened at Daytona.
It did.
Over the weekend.
Did you watch it?
I didn't get a chance to, no.
Oh, you didn't? Great, honestly. Really good. I really think it was probably in the top three best Daytona Supercross tracks I've ever, like, the track itself was really good. It was so gnarly and crazy, but it was a great track. So if you get a chance to just take a peek, do it.
Okay, I will. As a results go, for the Premier Class 450, Jet Lawrence wins by 5 seconds over Eli Tomac and Chase Sexton. Cooper Webb in fourth, Kenny Roczen in fifth, then Justin Cooper in sixth, Malcolm, Dylan Ferrandis, Jason Anderson, Benny Bloss, your top 10. And the points, Jet, 10 points now over Cooper Webb. He's got he's got 13 points over Chase Sexton. So what'd you see in that race, Jay?
Well, honestly, Greg, it's almost like a changing of the guard because you know how many times Tomac has won at Daytona, and he was in the top three guys got the starts they needed. Jet moved into third really early. Tomac was chasing Sexton, and in one lap, on like lap five or six, I believe, Jet went past both of them and immediately pulled away. Now, Tomac had a problem with his bike. It was smoking, so that was a bit of a drag to see that because, you know, I'm not sure how much that held him back.
Wet? Was it muddy? Did it rain earlier that day?
It had, but the track was good. It was just very, very gnarly and burly, and it looked like he had a clutch. Ricky was talking on the telecast about it could be a shock, maybe some oil coming out of the shock and getting on the exhaust, because it was a very odd place, it looked like, for somebody like Ricky Carmichael or James Stewart. They were really trying to figure out where it could be coming from. At the end, I think it was a clutch. I just kind of feel like there was two ways that this season could have gone for Jet. At the beginning of the year, I felt like he was going to win the majority of the races. And we saw him go through this little tough stretch, and it was, you know, there were some mud races. And then last week he crashes, you know, while leading in Arlington, and, you know, crashes again and doesn't even get on the podium and all that happened within three laps. And it was almost like at this race, he rode mistake free. He didn't look like he was overriding the bike, trying to get away from guys. I just think he's got better speed than everybody right now. And if he keeps it upright, there's nobody that can race with him. And, but again, there's so many moving dynamics in Supercross where it comes to these guys, their starts and that kind of thing, Greg, that, it'll be interesting to see if he's kind of got through that little rough patch and now he just starts, you know, clicking off these wins and racking up points.
In the 250 class, am I reading this right? Viale ended up winning from France.
You are reading that right. Yeah. That, and it was awesome. Great to see. It was great. And Greg, he literally just, he outrode everybody. He outrode and pulled away from, I believe, I don't have the results up, but I believe it's
McAdoo was second. Hamaker was third.
Yes.
Your boy Danger Man was fourth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My boy.
Pierce Brown. I saw actually a clip of him doing a loop-de-loop and saving it.
Oh, is that right? Oh, going around in circle?
Yeah, he was like going right turn, and it just kind of spun around, and he stayed on the bike and kept going. That was pretty impressive.
It is cool. And he, but to watch Viale do what he did and just yard away from those guys, you know, Greg, Daytona, like we say, and like everybody says, the Supercross there is kind of a mixture, isn't it? Between
it's
outdoor.
Like outdoor.
It's an outdoor slash Supercross. And, but I, again, hats off to Ricky and the crew down there that built that track. It was really, really entertaining and fun to watch. And, you know, Daytona Supercross, as far as the fantasy week goes, you killed it, right, Greg? You killed it again, didn't
no,
you?
No, no, no. I did okay. I didn't kill it.
But you're hanging in there.
I moved back up a spot. So, okay. So like in our deal, in the Greg Garage
fourth.
Pod with
you're
Jason
fifth.
Moore, I'm fifth. I was sixth.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was sixth. And then, like, because Simon was ahead of me, and he slipped down to 10th. Oh, I love that.
He did. How about Cody Wyman's 202 in the world?
Is he really?
Leading our group. He scored another 70 this week. Guy's killing it. And the fact that Big Boar Short Stroke is still within shouting distance is awesome. He's only, 18 points back. Moto Dog 650 at 333. There's a pretty big disparity in the first three spots there. And I'm getting smoked. Like, I'm not even in the picture this year. I'm 48th. So I'll get myself back up into that top 20, I feel.
Good luck.
You remember what happened last year in fantasy? You remember?
Yeah. You went on a really tear at the
end. Went on a heater.
It didn't matter. Yeah. When there's nothing on the line, you started picking them really well.
Easy.
Huh?
Huh?
Who's in to win? Isn't that like Carruthers or something?
Maybe it is.
I think it is. In our other, the private one we have, I'm P3.
Yeah.
But in to win is 355. I'm at 318. That's why I'm ahead of Simon in that one too. He's at 311. As long as I stay ahead of Simon, I'm good.
He's been killing it too.
I know.
It sucks because I have to hear it. He gets all excited. You know how Simon is. He gets all pumped and he's, you know, yeah. He's excited. So
that's RM. That's RM Fantasy SX.com or SMX or something like that. Go join us there.
All he wants to do is beat you. That's all he cares about.
That's why I want to beat him. Of course. I know that.
It's beautiful.
He's probably telling Jeff White secret things to do to me to try to get me to slow down too. Because they're all tight now.
I am behind a lot of people that will probably be razzing me when we get to Daytona. I'm sure I'll be.
Hey, speaking of that, before we go, has anybody asked you to pick a winner yet of the 200?
I was thinking about this morning. It's so weird that you asked me that. But people have asked me what my opinion is, what I think. But yeah, and it's hard to just pick somebody, isn't it?
Dude, there's just no way. I mean, you think Supercross is tough? No way.
Like the hardest thing, you know, you look at Chavi Forres on an attack bike, he's going to get overlooked a lot. Like there's so many people talking about other people, but this guy won the championship last year. You know the biggest bummer for Chavi? His bike broke on the second lap last year. He didn't get to run the Daytona 200 last year and get that experience.
That's right.
Do I think it's going to matter? I don't think it's going to matter. I think he has the ability to come in there and win. Obviously, we know he's got pace and speed and fitness.
Good team.
It's going to be Greg, it's a different race because as a rider, there are mistakes that you can make as a rider that can cost you the race. The in-laps, the out-laps, the missing of a pit board, the not getting
trapped
enough
into the chicane, right? Misjudging that.
Any of that stuff can come into play. And so when you start to think about a winner of this race, you got to think about the guys that have done it. And those guys that come to mind are Josh Herron right off the bat. He's going to be difficult. Brandon Posh. Brandon's going to be on a sort of GSXR 750 right now. And he's won this, what, three times?
Three times.
So you look at those two guys and you go, well, there's experience there now. And like, can Josh Hayes get it
twice.
Done?
Posh has won it
twice. Okay. Sorry. Can Josh Hayes get it done? Richie Escalante's got to be hungry. I think the GSXR 750 is going to be a difficult bike to beat from the chicane to the start-finish line. So when you start to piece it together.
In terms of experience, you've got to add Danny Eslick in the mix. He's won it four times. If Danny could pull out a win, he would tie himself with Scott Russell and Miguel Duhamel.
The hardest thing for Danny is he's just not been riding at the high level in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And even at the 200... he's been there at the beginning. He's been there in the lead draft, and he's comfortable on the bankings, and he's smart around there. It's just going to be about race. What's his fitness like coming in? Race toughness as far as the guys he's got to race against and battle. I mean, Greg, it's difficult. It's the
Josh Herron story is an incredible story, Jay. If you look at it, 2008, Chaz Davis won it. 2009, Ben Bostrom won it. Josh Herron wins it in 10, and then in 11, Jason DeSalvo.
Like it's wild.
Those guys have been gone from the sport now for at least a couple of years, right? And then you get into the Joey Pasquarella. He's not around. Beaubier won it in 13, but he doesn't run the race. Then you get into Danny Eslick, Michael Barnes, Eslick, Kyle, Posh, and Herron.
Yeah, and so with you know, like. The hardest thing for me is when I look at a few of those lean years that the guys were winning, and it's, you never want to discredit, and I'm not doing that, but this race is so much bigger than about six or seven of the years that you just rang off to me. Mm-hmm. This race is so much bigger now in the last two or three years. And going into 2024, I mean, Greg, you named some guys there, 2008, 2009. Those are legit guys. But I really think that this race right now is bigger than all the years we've seen it where it's been super sport machinery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember the last year we ran a Daytona 200 on super bikes. Couldn't tell you.
2004.
Who won that?
Matt.
Okay, in 04. And so I really feel that.
In 05, we switched to Formula Extreme bikes.
That's right.
For 3 years.
And if you remember that.
4 years, yeah.
Was that like Miguel and Jake winning those?
So it was Miguel, Jake, and then it was Rapp. That was off of the DQ from Josh Hayes.
And so when you look back at those, if you look at those, Greg, the way I remember them, there was no factory involvement in those. Honda made a push for the Formula Extreme Championship. They were on top of it. There was nobody that was going to beat factory Honda. They were the only, I believe, factory team in the race. And so you sit there and I don't want to say that those years were watered down. All the race winners that kept this race alive over the years is great. But I think that for this year, if you remember, we had a different track configuration back then as well.
Yeah, we did.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And so
to your point, Jay, the track back then went to, because after Superbikes, it was 3.56. Then it Formula Extreme went to 2.95 for 2 years. Then, or 3 years, then the Chaz Davis one, it was 2.9. Remember, we ran an even shorter abbreviated course.
That's right. Yep.
Then, since then, we've been at our 3.51.
Yeah. And so, like, what I'm trying to say is, I think what I'm trying to do is build this week up more than I'm not trying to put anybody down. I just think that when you look at the race winner from this, whoever's on that top of the box on Sunday afternoon at Daytona this year, it's going to be a real effort. So,
and the one factor we haven't talked about is obviously the tires. Like Bridgestone has a legit hard effort, especially with the Yart guys.
No question.
Pirelli has won it many times recently. They have their effort, and Dunlop is trying to win it as well. And there's all these stories. 11 Canadians in the race, more than they've ever had before. So it's going to be something. And, you know, I was talking to somebody in the know about the Bridgestone stuff, and if it comes down to it and Bridgestone lost the race because of something with the tire, I was told that next year, dude, they will put so much money into developing a straight up tire, you know, to win the Daytona 200 next year.
Yeah.
So that's also very exciting. But anyway.
And you've got, you know, the guys that we forgot to mention, like not forgot, but the Rahal team's coming in. They're all new. What is Kayla going to do in her first Daytona 200? How about PJ Jacobson? PJ's an immediate threat at that place because of his size. And I just think, man, enough talking about it. Let's get down to Daytona. Let's see how people start sorting their things out. I'm going to be keeping a keen eye on Wednesday of guys who look like they're running strong with no issues, and the guys that are having issues or little problems or missing that valuable track time that you need there, Greg, because the laps are so long, like Road America. You don't get that many laps in your sessions. There's a lot of little storylines. And I think – one of the things I want to do this year is I want to do a few Instagram live videos where people can ask questions, and especially when I'm out on the fence. So there, you know, I want to bring that to people a little bit more this year. It's one of the things that I'm going to do at all the races. I'm going to try to do that a little bit more.
What's your, the Instagram is in the link to the description, but Instagram for you is Pridmore43.
Type my name in, it'll come in, I guess.
Yeah,
I think it's
at Pridmore43 or whatever.
No
so
clue,
that's good.
So.
By the way, I got word yesterday, ticket sales are strongest they've been.
Love it.
Cannot wait to see everybody down there.
I'm pumped, man. Yeah, ticket sales are good. I will see you. I guess I'll see you tomorrow evening. And safe drive down. If you're headed down to Florida, everybody, be safe when you get down there. If you see Greg and I ripping around the pits, make sure to say hi. Race season is upon us. I can hardly wait. Moto America Daytona 200 this weekend and Doha MotoGP. See y'all. Have a great weekend.